If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20 tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20. We'll begin reading with verse number 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. They must have been Baptists. You know, Baptists don't like for you to get too loud, do they? Amen. But the Bible says they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Boy, that ought to be the desire of every lost person tonight, that their eyes could be opened. I remember when I was a lost man, out in the things of this world, deep down in my soul, I wanted to be saved. I had that desire in my heart, but I had to wait on Him to pass by my way and call my name. And so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight. They followed Him. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You, God, for the good day You've given us, Lord. Thank You for the Word of God tonight, Lord. And thank You, God, for the preaching of the Word, Lord, for the foolishness of preaching. God, You've chosen to save them that would believe. Lord, I pray, God, You'd be upon this message, Lord. You'd send it out, God, empowered by the Holy Ghost to convict hearts and lives and save sinners. God, we pray. We love You in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. This story right here is very familiar to all of us. It's recorded in the book of Mark and again in the book of Luke. But there's something interesting about this passage of Scripture right here. The Bible teaches in this that there was two blind men. If you move over to Mark's account of it, he mentions one blind man. He calls him by name, and that name being Bartimaeus. And then moving on over into Luke, he mentions one blind man, but he calls him just a certain man. As I got to studying this, I was reading after some of the old authors, and they say, well, some critics today say, well, there's errors in the Word of God. Well, don't you believe that story, friend. Let me tell you something. God has made no mistakes in His Word. One writer said, well, there's some critics to say, well, one of them said he was moving out of Jericho, and another one says he was coming in. Well, the truth is there was an old Jericho and there was a new Jericho. And this encounter took place somewhere between the two, friend. So don't let these skeptics of the world tell you a lie, friend. God, He's true. He said, let Him be true and every man be a liar, friend. You better believe the Word of God and you can rest upon it that it is truth tonight. But I'm looking at this right here in Matthew right here. He just says there's two blind men in verse number 30 sitting by the wayside. And we know from Mark's account that one of them was Bartimaeus. But I want to preach on this thought tonight. Who's the other blind man? Who's that other blind man? Hey, I remember one day way back in 1974 when I could have said I was that blind man. I was the beggar sitting by the wayside. I was the one that sat in darkness and didn't have the light of God shining upon my darkened heart, friend. But thank God Jesus passed by and He shined the light of the glorious gospel into my darkened heart. But I wonder tonight, could it be you? Could you be the other blind man tonight that's sitting in darkness, friend? Oh, listen to me now. Listen to me. Listen to me, friend. This old world is a lying in wickedness tonight. And there's a majority of people in this world that's lost and going to hell tonight. And I'd be a sad person to tell you tonight that there's not probably some people sitting on church pews tonight that's still in darkness. Hey, they're riding the coattail of religion to a devil's hell, friend. But you better pray to God that Jesus passes by your way one day, just like He did these two blind men, and He stood still and He had compassion upon them. You better hope that if you're lost tonight, that Jesus one day will call your name. What a glorious day that'll be in your life. Now I want you to notice there's two characters in this passage right here as recorded by Brother Matthew here. And I want you to notice, friend, their problem. Their problem was blindness. Blindness. They had a physical blindness. They were in a world of darkness. Have you ever been in a room where the lights was turned out, pitch black, and you had to just kind of feel your way around? Boy, it'd be an awful condition to be in physical darkness, wouldn't it? To be blind. But I want you to notice something right here that Jesus, when He stopped and looked their way, He was not only looking at their cry and their physical blindness, friend, but He was looking at their spiritual blindness. There is a condition that's worse than physical blindness. And that'd be an awful condition to have upon your life, friend. But let me tell you, to be spiritually blind tonight, it's worse than anything that could ever come upon you in this life. To leave this life and enter into a place of outer darkness for all eternity. That's what hell is like. Outer darkness. No, not only their problem, friend, but their position. They were on the wayside begging. Listen, I can imagine day by day what a miserable life they must have had. They had no ability to get out and work and do a job like a lot of folks do day by day, friend. They had to go out on the highway side and listen. They didn't have sight, but they could hear when somebody came walking by. And I imagine they reached out with their cup and they began to beg for just a few cents to buy something to eat with, to supply their needs in life. If you're lost tonight, you're no more than just a blind beggar, dependent upon mercy, praying that mercy would pass your way one day, give you the help that you need in your life. They were by the wayside begging. I remember when I was lost in darkness, like the blind man here. There was times that I'd go to church, Brother Lee, but I felt like I was way out somewhere. I was lost. I didn't know the spiritual things of God. I didn't know the blessings of God. All I could feel when I went to church was like I was different. I was separate. I was way off somewhere. I was blind. I was in darkness, friend, and I wasn't comfortable. Just a beggar. Deep in my heart, hoping that God would one day convict me and call me. It's the only hope a sinner's got. Thank God He's still passing by tonight, though. Thank God He's still calling lost sinners tonight to repentance. You listen to me tonight. Their problem, their position, their perception. Can you imagine as they sat there by the wayside with their cups in their hand, these two blind men, and they could hear the footsteps maybe of one or two people are coming, but their perception that day, they heard a great commotion. There was something begin to happen that day. The Bible says that there was a multitude of people that was following Christ down the road that day. There was a great commotion took place. And you'll find over in I believe it's in Luke's gospel over there, the blind man said, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" You know what they said? What they told him? Said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.
Hallelujah. I'm glad he's a passing by. When he shows up, friend, there's things going to go to happening down at the house of God. There's things that will go to happening in your life when he shows up. And these old blind men got stirred up that day. Oh, their perception was that Jesus is a passing by. Oh, I'm glad. If you want him to come by your way, he's available. He's available. Oh, their perception. But fourthly, I want you to notice their plea. Their plea. Oh, it's the noise of Jesus a passing by. And they told him that it's Jesus of Nazareth. And no doubt they'd heard about Jesus. No doubt he was a name that they'd heard about before. No doubt they'd heard that he'd give sight back to the blind, that he'd made the lame to walk again. And maybe they heard that he'd raised people from the dead, friend. And something went to stirring in their heart. Hope came alive. And they had a plea. They began to cry. There was an urgency in their plea that day. Well, Jesus was a passing by. But Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. Jesus was heading to a cross that day. Well, let me tell you something, friend. When Jesus calls your name, when Jesus passes by your way, it's an urgent time. It's time for you to cry out. It's time for you to call upon Him. There was a crowd there that day that told them to be quiet. Be quiet. They had an option that day. They could cry, keep a crying, or they could have hushed. They chose to keep crying out. Let me tell you something, friend. The devil will do everything he can to get you to stay in your seat. When God begins to deal with you and convict you and draw you, when the invitation has come, you know what the devil will do? He'll say, put it off. He'll say, don't you go down there. He'll say, God won't save you. You've gone too far. You've done too much. He'll tell you everything to get you to keep your seat because he wants to see you die and go to the devil's hell because that's where he's headed. Did not listen. Better do like these blind men. The Bible says they cried the more. They got louder. Folks are saying, hush. And they said, no. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy. Boy, that's some good words to be a crying to him, ain't it? He's the mercy giver. Amen. And the Bible tells me in Isaiah 55:6, to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him when he's near. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that, ain't there? Jesus was passing by. It was an urgent time, friend. They had to call upon him while he was near. They had to seek him while he could be found. That's the way it is with lost sinners tonight. It's dangerous to say no when the Holy Ghost is wooing you to come. He's not obligated to pass your way again. Thank God many times that folks have had opportunity after opportunity to be saved. But God's not only, He's only obligated to give you one chance. One chance. Oh, it's important to be like these blind men and to plead to Him when He's passing by. Two characters. I see two cries. One was a cry of recognition. Notice what they said right here. Said, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. You know what they were saying? Oh, Lord God, you are the Messiah. You are the all-powerful one. You are the one that's able. Lord, have mercy upon us. Still having mercy on people today. He's still saving today. He's still adding to His bride today. There's mercy available. Jesus died. Jesus paid a sin debt for all. Jesus paid a ransom for you and me that we'd have a chance, friend, to hear the gospel, to hear that plea, to hear that call to repentance. They recognized that. That's amazing. These men were blind. They had never seen Jesus. It's kind of like a person hearing the gospel. You hear the gospel preached, friend, but you got to accept it by faith. They said this is Jesus passing by, and they took them at their word, and they cried out to Him. Faith was demonstrated. There was a cry of recognition. There was a cry of request. That day, as they sat there begging, and they heard it was Jesus passing by. There was a multitude of folks coming by. They wasn't interested in money no more. They got interested in mercy. Now that multitude of folks could have probably filled their cup with money. And they kept crying for money, money, money. They might have got a big collection that day. But they realized that they needed something besides money. They needed mercy. They needed salvation, friend. Let me tell you something. You can run after the things of this world and it'll take you straight to a devil's hell. You better come to a reality, friend, that you need your soul saved, friend, or you're going to wake up in that place called hell one of these days. The devil loves to get you on track running after the things of the world. Take your mind away from the things of God. But it's a reality, friend, that one day we're gonna leave this life, and all the junk we've accumulated here, friend, is going to stay here and burn up. Only the things that we've done for God's going to matter. And that day it's going to matter whether you've accepted Him or rejected Him, friend. That's going to determine your eternal destiny. Oh, listen to me. They throwed their cup down that day. They cried. Oh, Lord, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Just a simple little request, wouldn't it? And boy, they got more than they was asking for that day. Two cries. Now, I see a cry of recognition, a cry of request, but I see two responses by Jesus. The Bible says that there was a great multitude. They was marching by. And as they cried out, Jesus heard the cry. And the Bible says He stopped. Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad, thank God. A lost sinner that's done everything imaginable today, Jesus will hear your plea for mercy. There's mercy for you. Jesus has paid your sin debt, friend. There was two responses. Jesus stopped. And Jesus called. Called for them. Ain't that something high, Jesus? He'll pass through a whole congregation of people. They might be one in that whole congregation that He's dealing with, that He's speaking to. They may be 200 people sitting here thinking about what's going to be on TV after a while, thinking about what's for supper tonight, but they may be one thinking about, I'm headed toward the devil's hell if I don't get saved. God may be dealing with them, friend. Those two responses, friend. Jesus stopped. Jesus called. And I see, friend, there's two results here. If you'll notice over in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10, I want you to see something right here in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. In verse number 49, the Bible says, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Notice this, the Bible says, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." First thing I want you to know in the two results, there was a casting away of hindrances. What's hindered you from being saved? Why don't you come to Jesus when He calls you? I remember when I was lost, there was things that I was doing in my life, friend, that I was ashamed of, friend, but you know what? They had a hold on me. They had a grip on me. The alcohol, the gambling, it was something I thought I just couldn't let go of. Till Jesus hung me out over hell. Let me see that it wasn't worth hanging on to.
He cast off his garment. I wonder if there's something tonight that you need to get out of your life. There's something that's hindering you from being saved. There's something that's hindering you from coming to Christ. I wonder if it could be something that you could love to get rid of and just throw it away. First Sunday morning in March 1974, I stepped into an old Baptist church, and I had no idea that day, no idea that God was going to save me that morning. The things that I did, I was doing, I didn't think I could ever turn it loose. The devil had a grip on me, and I didn't think I could turn it loose. Somehow, through God's mercy, through His grace, through His calling and dealing with me that morning, you know what I said? I said, "Lord, if I lay it all down, would You have me?" You see, I had to cast that thing off of me, Brother Lee, to get to Him. This blind man cast off his garment to get to Jesus. That was one result. Now notice, secondly, there's a confession that's made. A casting away and a confession made. Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Jesus knew what they needed. Jesus knew what their problem was. But they had to admit they was blind. They was blind. "I'm blind, Lord. I need mercy. I need help." You got to admit you lost. You'll never get saved if you can't admit you lost. Hey, listen to me. When I got saved, 23 years of age, my name was on the church roll. I was a member of Sardis Baptist Church, living a life full of hell. You didn't have to tell me that I was lost. I knew it. There wasn't no doubt in my mind. I knew I was lost. Knew it. You know tonight if you're saved or you're lost. John said, "These things I've written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life." Listen to me, friend. There was confession that was made. "Lord, that we might receive our sight." I'm glad if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us as Christians. But if we are lost and confess to Him, He'll forgive you and save you. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's what the Bible says, ain't it? But there was a cry of recognition, cry of request, two responses, two results, two rewards I see now. In Luke chapter number 18, I want you to see this account. In Luke chapter 18, we'll read verse number 41. Jesus saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Notice the rewards of faith. Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight." First reward. Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine that blind man as they led him up there to Jesus? And Jesus reached out and touched those blinded eyes. And the first time he opened his eyes, there was God standing before him. What a day in his life. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm glad he can open blinded eyes. Hey, I left Sardis Baptist Church first Sunday morning in March of 1974, and I seen things a whole lot different from what I'd ever seen them. And I tell you, I'm still seeing it today. Hey, listen to me, friend. Jesus can give sight to a blind sinner tonight. You'll see this world a whole lot different if you'll let Him save you, if you'll just come to Him. Hey, they received their sight. He opened his eyes there. Not only that, but look what else he got right here. Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." What a day.
You got more than what he's asked you. Anybody in here getting more than what you asked for when he saved you? Huh? Well, there's an abundant life. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Living the Christian life, friend. Hey, I'm glad. Hey, I know there's hard times. I know there's valleys to go through, friend. But let me tell you, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I can look back through my life and I can see the hard times. And I can see how he guided me through it, how he helped me through it. He's still with me today. He'll be with me on my dying day and he'll carry me off to glory one of these days. Amen. Ain't nothing like the Christian life. Two rewards. Now, lastly tonight, I want you to notice this. The two characters, the two cries. Notice this, the two confirmations right here. Verse number 43. Bible says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him. Let me tell you something. You get saved, you'll follow Christ. You know why? Why I believe this? There's been times that I tried to stray a little bit. But you know what? I'm yoked to Him. And He'll keep you in the traces. Hey, whatever He has to do to jerk you back in line, He's big enough to do it. I can say amen to that. He can straighten you out. He can trouble you. He can break your legs if he needs to. But he can get you straightened out. And this old blind man, after he received his sight and received his salvation, friend, the Bible says he followed him. He didn't go following the preacher. He didn't go following the Baptist. He followed him. Hey, you know where Jesus was going? He was going to the cross. Can I tell you something? If you follow Him, there's a cross for you. There's a cross for you. But it's still good to follow Him. Take up your cross and follow Him daily. He requires it of you. Amen? Lastly, notice this. His path, he followed Him. But notice his praise. The Bible says, and followed him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Ain't that a good testimony? Give him the praise. Give him the glory. Boy, I tell you, wonder what God thinks about us a lot of times. When we gather together as saved people, call ourselves worshiping God, can't even get a grunt out of us. Can't get an amen. The Bible says we ought to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Amen? We ought to. Hey, we ought not to wait till we get to heaven to praise Him. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And when we get there, when we see Him, when we see the glories of heaven, when we meet our loved ones that's gone on, when we see the saints of old that we've read about and preached about and studied about, what a time that's going to be. Boy, it'll be a time of praise, won't it? It'll be a time of thanksgiving. Friend, we can have that time now. Listen, friend, He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed. Hey, God called him from darkness to light. From death to life. And He's done the same thing for every saved person in the house tonight. We ought not to be ashamed to praise Him. It's biblical to praise Him, ain't it? Amen. Amen. Stand with me around the house if you would. Who is that second blind man? Bartimaeus was one of them. Way back in 1974, I was one of them. Wonder tonight. Sister Julie, would you come to the piano and play something, sing something for us? Wonder tonight. Are you lost?